And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, November the 1st. We've got the Christmas music lined up already, 2025. We don't, but yeah. Season 19, episode 34. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, Discord's the best place to go. Just go to our Discord there, log in, jump into the chat room there, and can see you, and we can get you on. If you want to do that, check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter, In-Game Chat. You can find us on Blue Sky, In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook, In-Game Chat. You can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, go to twitch.tv, search for In-Game Chat, and you'll be able to find us right there. Or you can go to our website, go all the way to the bottom. There's links for everything that I just mentioned, all at our website, ingamechat.net. The N is spelled I-N, not the letter N. Somebody mentioned that to me a long time ago, actually. They couldn't find us. Why? Well, I kept typing in game, the letter N, game chat. I was like, oh, this is not that. This is a word, not the letter. So anyway, welcome into the show. I don't know. Oh, yeah, this. Hey, you know what? I don't have Twitch set up here, and I need to do that. Let me do that to get that out of the way. Which is odd that I would remember that, because everybody in the chat room normally tells me, hey, don't forget to do the clapboard. And so, you jump into our Twitch, because I've been here forever, and I completely forgot to set this thing up. Well, I say I forgot to set it up. We're streaming right now. It's fine. I just forgot to jump into the chat room myself, so I can see how everything is going. Well, our stream is excellent. That's great. And there's everybody. Hello. Thank you. Wonderful to see everyone here. Jump into what we played, right? That's what we normally do. Yep. So, and I always start with you, man. So, RJ, what have you been playing?
Lately, I've been playing a lot of the of MLB The Show 25. Started a new road to the show. Had all the new features and everything lined up, so I started going into that. I noticed some of the pitching selection has changed, but then again, it's been 2 years since I played the newest version of the game, so of course some things are changing there. They took out one of the pitch types that I really liked, and they replaced it with something that took over baseball by storm, the sweeper. So they took they put that pitch in there and took out the running fastball out of there, so I had to adjust that and see what I could do with it. For the most part, I've been playing Virtua Fighter 5 Revo World Stage that came out this late this October, right? Biggest difference being that they've put a good single-player mode in there that simulates the arcade experience, challenging everybody in an arcade and getting your rank up and things like that, and unlocking items and everything. The only thing, the drawback, is I had to restart my rank from the original VF5, so I'm back in beginner first level queue again.
Was that to be expected?
Yeah, it was to be expected, really.
In other words, not really a shock to you, and disappointment.
Yeah, not a shock. I mean, it would be a disappointment if I would regret having to build that back up, which I'm not. I'm looking forward to building that back up again, because I'm really going to get to see where I stand in the game, because everybody who's been playing this game is playing now. We're all starting from scratch, really.
Yeah.
So we're all going to get our levels up and see how well we can really do in this game. So I've been having fun with that. Like I said, the online features are looking really good. The few games I did play online with folks, pretty smooth sailing. Wasn't too many issues there. So I think I'm going to have a good time going back into that. So it's probably going to take up most of my gaming time for the next few weeks, trying to build my level up in that game.
In prep for anything specific, or just to do it?
No, just to do it, really.
Okay.
I mean, we still got the Akai Leagues that I go to every
I knew you did, and I wasn't sure if that was a thing that you were still, you know, or that maybe you were prepping for.
No. I mean, it's something we do pretty much every week, but switching to a new console, so I've got to get used to the fact that I'm playing on a PS5 controller as opposed to a PS4 controller. Trying to get used to the aesthetic of it, make sure I get all my skills and whatnot in there without any hassle. Can't blame it on the controller. You don't want to blame it on the controller. So either you can do it or you can't.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's what I'll be doing this mostly for my gaming, really. I'm going to be playing that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any more of the old Tom Clancy's
Division 2?
Division.
I haven't since.
I'm like, Tom Clancy's Deftones? That's not it. No. What is it? Tom Clancy's D thing. Defense? What is it?
Yeah. No. But,
Division.
No, ever since Revo Revo came out, I haven't played that much. And then starting the road to the show in MLB 25, I've put that on the back burner for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's how it goes, really. You start to play something, and then it dominates your time. Your gaming time. Do you get all the way through it?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I am currently aware of that.
Yeah.
I am currently highly aware of that with the way that Ball Pit has been, grabbing my game time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still enjoying it. I was completely wrong about the number. We talked about it, and I was like, oh, there's three rows? Or no, it's a row of three, and there's this many of them, and I was doing all this calculation in my head. No, because the very last row leaves one empty, so there's only two on the last row.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's only like maybe 11 or 14, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not as many as I thought it was. At least I say that, and I could be wrong. No, I didn't bring my deck. I was going to be like, I brought my Steam. No, I didn't.
This is characters to open up.
Right, yeah, characters that you open
up.
So, characters that you can unlock. And regardless, my thing is when I unlock a character, I go back through and play all the levels previous.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, it increases a buff. Each stage that you complete gives you like a little temple type thing mm-hmm. that you plant in your base.
Yeah.
So you put the temple down in your base, and it provides a buff to your characters. And the more characters you defeat the level with increases the buff or whatever it is, the advantage that it gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And each stage gives you some sort of, you know, temple that has some sort of stat increase, stat buff type thing. So
yeah,
it behooves you to go through and do that.
Yeah, the more the merrier, right?
It really is. It really is. And I keep unlocking new blueprints, and blueprints are just each stage has a certain set amount, of blueprints. And credit to the developers for putting text on the level select screen that tells you have this many blueprints in this stage to find. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This stage has this many, and as you collect them, you know, that number goes down, and when there are no blueprints there, it's just you can play the level, but it doesn't tell you that there's any blueprints left to be found,
mm-hmm.
which is great. I'm pleased with that because, God, I would just sit there like, where's this thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because reading forums and stuff, I hear of all the different buildings that you can get and the buffs that they do and things like that. And so it's nice to know that each level has a description of you have 7 blueprints left to find, you know? I say to find. It's not like you're looking for them. It's RNG. It just shows up, mm-hmm. you know. As you play through, it just shows up. And going through each stage, beating them with all the different characters, you eventually find them all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still going through Ball Pit. Still having a bunch of fun with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Really just enjoying every bit of it. Even the difficult parts where... So I have the ability now to take 2 characters into a run. You start out, you only take 1 character through a level.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have the ability to take 2. Some of their synergies don't work. Some of their synergies work very well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm more of an efficient type player with things, so I don't like to waste. In other words... When I'm going back through levels and I can pick 2 characters, I'm picking 2 characters that haven't beaten that level before. I don't want to go in with one that has and one that hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather knock out 2 with 1 run than have to run 2 runs with, you know. That's just me, and I'm not saying it's stupid because I'm sure it's other people as well. It's a little hard-headed for how many times I go through a level with, like, the same characters and trying to find a synergy that works together.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you're going to have to... It kind of forces the issue of running characters multiple times, even though you've done it before, because you got to find the right synergy for each one. So, yeah,
correct.
You're going to have to make that run, whether you
Yeah, last night I must have ran a level, I don't know how many times, with the same two characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ran it once, and I focused on DPS, if you want to call that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily DPS, but whatever. I focused on damage.
Mm-hmm.
So I just get some good damage going on. And the and you start out, and I'm like, boy, I'm killing it, you know? First boss comes, and that's when you have three bosses. There's two minis and then one final boss.
Mm-hmm.
That first mini boss, given that the way the two characters work together, really, really started getting me backed up. In other words, more rows of enemies started building up behind this boss.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way my characters weren't necessarily working together. And I thought, man. So, you know, the next run, it's like, all right, let's focus on health. You know? I can continuously, you know, batter this dude as long as I don't die. You die, your game's over. So let's find a way to stay alive. And I focused on, you know, health. Still didn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, and God knows what it was because I do not remember. But eventually I stumbled upon something that got me through to the end of that that level with those two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Which, doing so, unlocks more characters. And it's like, well, I just got to go through this level again with these two new characters that I've unlocked now. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't do. But, you know, I got to go back and do that. And there's, I've still got, I think, probably three or four more characters unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Going through it, but I've still got... I'm not sure how many more levels I've got, but there's quite a few. And I know there's a new game plus afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that you can run each level on a faster mode and then a faster mode, and I believe another fast plus mode
mm-hmm.
that you can go through. I'm not saying I will, but I am saying I will if there's an achievement attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm necessarily achievement hunting on this, but you get to a certain point in the game where you're like, you know what? That's all I have left to do. Let me try and do that, you know?
Mm.
And I can get that achievement for it. And maybe you only have to do one run at a super fast speed, not the whole thing, something like that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I really haven't worried about getting to the end of the game so much as I've just worried about enjoying my time with it right now until I get to the end of the game. And then I can decide what to do.
Mm.
I feel like, you know, reading forums and stuff, I feel like a lot of people were like, hey, I finished the game. I might go back and do New Game Plus. And it's just like, yeah, but how much of it did you finish? You know?
Yeah.
There's going through the entire levels, all the different levels, and beating the final level and calling it a day or calling you, you know, well, finish the game. I'm mm-hmm. good. But there's also like, well, yeah, but did you unlock all the different things that are to unlock? Did you go through and grab other characters? Did you raise your stats any? Did you, you know, expand your base building? Did you... And to, not just to their credit, but just to get this out of the way, play games the way you want to play games. I'm not saying that that way is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying for me, I spent $15 on it, maybe 13, I don't know. I'm going to squeeze every bit of that $15, $13, whatever I paid for, completely out of it. One, because I just enjoy the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, because the game is fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to get through, you know how I am, like when I
Crackdown is the best example. It shows how you play when you found that one discoverable thing. You wanted to get it all then.
In a sense, but I'll relate it more towards Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, with the pirate stuff.
Yeah, that was your favorite, wasn't it?
It was my favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, there's a hard second with Syndicate
mm-hmm.
because of the Victorian setting and dealing with, like, Spring Hill Jack and Jack the Ripper and all these other it was good stuff. Really, really like that. However, let me relate it to Assassin's Creed because it's something I've talked about here. I have the option in Assassin's Creed to just play the story.
Mm-hmm.
But once I am done with that story, I lose all motivation to do any of that stuff that's side questy. You know what I mean?
Yes, usually that's usually the fate of story games. You have to be played one time. There's really nothing in there that makes you want to play it
right
a second time.
It is going through the story and finishing the story, but still being able to go through and finish up side quests and things like that don't have a pull for me because I consider everything I'm doing as a build-up to the end.
Well, you got to think about what side quests are for in those story games, to build up a level.
So I feel like it, so you could build up to an end.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's how I treat everything when I play that. It is a build-up to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a sense, what I'm doing here with Ball Pit is it is a build-up to an end. Mm-hmm. And I worry, even though there's a new game plus, I worry that going through there and finishing it will sink my motivation to say, well, now let's go through it and do it with this character. Now let me go back through it and do it on New Game Plus, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things, and this is probably why I play the games, why I play games the way I play games, which is let me do as much as I can. There does come a point where I say, you know, I'm really tired of doing this. Let me just go ahead and finish the story. You know, let me. Mm-hmm. I'm right there at the door. Let's just go ahead, knock it open, and finish this off. Even though I haven't finished all my side quests, I feel like I'm done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so let's wrap this up. So, and there's been times that I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not near that with Ball Pit, mainly because the levels go by pretty fast, you know?
Yeah.
A run takes less than 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
mostly around 10, sometimes less than that, depending, especially now because I've built up all the bases that I've built inside and what they're doing, and upgraded those bases. They are upgrading my stats. Every building in your base is something related to a benefit to you as a player, whether it is getting you more resources at the base, whether it is getting you more choices. Like I said, I have one that lets me take in two characters at the same time. I have one that lets me pick another bonus ball type thing before the game even starts.
Mm-hmm.
I have one that lets me select a passive bonus before the game even starts. So, and from what I've heard, there's even one that will gather resources for you while the game is offline.
Hmm.
In other words, when you're not running the game, you're still earning resources.
Hmm.
I have not unlocked that building yet, but I really look forward to it because my resources are running kind of low. Was it this morning, maybe? Sometime recently, I expanded my base.
Mm.
My base ground. In other words, you start with a very small, like, 4x4 square of land, and then you can purchase squares around that to make it to expand.
Mm-hmm.
But each time you purchase, you know, it's like 400, and you're like, okay, here's 400, boom. Well, then the next one's going to be 800 to buy, then 1,600, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying it doubles every single time, but it does increase every single purchase.
Stuff's going to add up.
It does.
After a while.
Yeah. It does add up. I mean, just recently, earlier this week, I think, I was getting some upgrades, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to upgrade this stuff. And I started going cha-ching, 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 and it got to the point where it's like, yeah, you don't have enough money. Normally, I don't have enough of either the wood, the stone, or the wheat. But I absolutely had run out of gold because I was just like, ooh, upgrade, upgrade, upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ran out of gold. So now, you know, you earn this stuff fast, though. You really, really do, especially the further you get into it. You earn this stuff very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, really enjoying Ball Pit. That is my game. I don't want to say obsession, but that is the one that I'm focused on the most currently right now. I'm still playing Marvel Snap. Season's about to wrap up. Just fine by me. I was never big into the Marvel Zombies season. Marvel Zombies I'm very big into. I enjoyed that series. And when I say series, I mean comic books. I haven't watched the animated thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the comic stories I was very into. This, what they're using them for in the game, I'm like, the cards don't seem worth having.
Yeah. I like the subject, but not this format.
Yeah, yeah. And the card, mm-hmm. some of the cards look really pretty, but I'm just... their abilities and that play line in the game, mm-hmm. that's not me.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I really haven't been paying much attention. And again, Ball Pit is dominating my game time.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely is. I played some demos, and boy, I wish I could tell you what they were, but I've already forgotten them. None of them really stuck.
Yeah, didn't grab you.
Nah.
Yeah.
Not really.
That's the point of a demo, to grab you. If it doesn't grab you, well.
It does, you know, and that's
out of mind.
That's the way I was playing it, because I would fire it up, I'd play it, and as soon as I got the idea of what this was, and I if it stuck, you know, if it was like, oh, this is what it is, okay, I'll keep going.
How about the genre? You remember the genre? Was it a puzzle game, a little side quest, side scroll, or something like that?
I don't remember now. Yeah. God, I really don't. Because honestly, I don't think it was last week. I think it was the week before last when I did that, and I've completely drawn a blank. It was during Next Fest when I complained about not having enough time to play Next Fest. And I still have some demos that I haven't actually played. I left them on there, and I haven't. I said I'll get to those at some point. Well, I still haven't gotten to them, so I don't know if they're any good or not. Yeah. I feel like I played something else, but I don't think so. I did fire up my Xbox Game Pass just to see what was there. I fired up my Xbox Game Pass and realized that I now have access to, speaking of Assassin's Creed, a bunch of Ubisoft titles are in my Game Pass thing. Because I synced it with my Ubisoft account or whatever. And so it recognized, like, oh, yeah, here's all your Ubisoft stuff that is also on Game Pass that you can play. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, that is pretty much it. That is pretty much all I played. Is just it's just been Ball Pit. I've looked at a couple of games. There was a good one for Halloween just recently, and I am drawing a blank on it. It's on my wish list, but I'm now drawing. It's like the Seance of Something Manor or something like that. I can't remember.
That was like a puzzler.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly one of those puzzlers, and that's my thing. Love me some puzzles. But no, that's been it for me. I am kind of, you know, the meme of the guy and the girl walking down, and he's looking back at the other girl that they walked past or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's me in Ball Pit. And then Arkriders came by, and I'm like, well, what was that?
Yeah.
What was that? Arkriders? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody interested in Arkriders? I'm curious. I'm hearing a lot of things. Duke's on playing Battlefield 6. Fubel's playing Frostpunk. Great game. Spigot's on. He's playing Ball Pit right now. I'm looking at the Discord server thing. He's playing Ball Pit. So I was just going to see if anybody was playing Arkriders. Is it Riders? Raiders?
I thought it was Riders.
It's probably Riders.
Yeah. Let's see.
I don't know much about it other than it looks like it's an extraction looter shooter type thing.
The one with the 70s logo?
Yeah, you
know. The one that looks like Atari?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Raiders. Ark Raiders.
It's Raiders. Yeah. Ark Raiders. So.
Multiplayer, extraction adventure.
Yeah. I'm not big on the extraction, but this game has been, you know, it's one of those things. It's where the zeitgeist gets you, right? It's one of those things where this new game has been released and people are talking about it. And so I want to be a part of that conversation.
Yeah.
Sort of. I'd like to see if I want to be a part of that conversation is what I basically am saying.
Yeah.
So
from the folks that made the finals. Okay.
Yeah. And I've heard good things about the finals too, but yeah, I'm really curious about it. Is it team-based? Is it third-person? Is it first-person? I don't know, because if you look at the... And this is not a complaint, because this is a quick Google that could be done. A quick YouTube could be done. A quick Twitch could be done so that I could see how it's played.
Oh, yeah, it's easy to find.
Right.
Yeah.
But what the problem I have with is that it's not easy to find on their Steam page. The trailers that they offer for you show, if it shows gameplay, it does not show player gameplay. You know what I mean? In other words, they may be showing you gameplay from a extended camera type version where you're seeing the players going around doing what they're doing, not like, from a player perspective.
So it's like a Call of Duty thing?
Well, yeah, and you know what Call of Duty, but you know Call of Duty, right?
Yeah, but you know what Call of Duty is, but when you've seen the videos of it, it's always like cutscenes or little things that's a whatnot.
It's
not like actual multiplayer gameplay, which is what people play the game for.
Yeah, they hardly show gameplay, but then again, it's Call of Duty, you know.
You know what you're getting. Yeah, you know what you're getting.
The name alone, it just evokes the gameplay that it is, but Ark Raiders, like you mentioned, On the Steam page, there's no mention of, is it first-person shooter? There could be in the reviews. I would have to go way down and look in the reviews. Maybe there's a mention there. I did look at some of them, but I don't remember any of them saying that. But is it third-person or first-person? Because I can't tell by the trailers that they're saying. And there's nothing indicating that on the Steam page itself that gives you, like, hey, this has online co-op. This has controller support. This has cloud saves. This has family sharing. Nothing on there tells me this is first person. This is third person. This is, you know, this is team co-op, or give me some stuff, you know, because if it's team-based extraction shooter, I'm even more in on that. If it's solo-based extraction shooter, or at least has the option to be solo-based, that's also good. I'd rather play with friends. You know? That's why I look at Helldivers. You play with friends. You know, it's three of you trying to do a thing against an AI enemy. Sure. Ark Raiders is completely PvP. But is it team-based PvP? Does it have the option to be team-based PvP? Is it also, can you do solo PvP with it? I don't know. And for $30, I'm not really there to find out until I can find that out before I throw in the 30. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's 30. It might be 40. But.
Oh, yep. It says 40.
Yeah. 40. Steam, yeah. My bad. I give myself a 10% discount in my head. Or $10 discount.
Just looking up some stuff here. Let's see if the
immigrant. You'll probably find out.
Came out October 30th. Embark Studios. Like I said, people who made the finals. It says
and the finals is first
shooter. It says third person shooter in genre.
All right, the finals was the first is person first person. Yeah. Exactly. So I can't go on past dev, you know,
past works. Yeah,
yeah, past developer works. So thank you for pointing that out. Third person shooter, Division's first person.
The Division.
It switches, person. Doesn't?
No, it's third person.
It's always third person.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. That's one I'll have to look into. I'm not... A lot of the times I see stuff like this and I'm like, are you trying to fill a Destiny-sized hole in your gaming desire? You know what I mean?
Well, there was plenty of games out before Ark Raiders that that would have done that.
Right, but they've all failed. They've all not done very well, you know?
Yeah.
I thought the finals might be one because it is first person, and I had heard good things about it, but I never really got into it. Ark Raiders, I don't know. We'll see. I don't believe that I am trying to, like I said, I don't think I am trying to find that fill that hole. But to be perfectly honest, there is some anxiety with that, actually. I mean, they're going to get in the psychology of game playing here for just a second, but when games like this spark my interest, I have a little bit of anxiety of... It's kind of a love-hate. Like, I hope that succeeds, and I hope it's what I want from it. I hope it does fill the Destiny need. And at the same time, I'm scared of it doing that because of what Destiny did to me previous. You know?
It's going down the rabbit hole type thing, yeah.
Do I want to be locked into a game like that again like I was with Destiny?
For as long as you were with Destiny.
Right.
Yeah.
I look for it, and I want to find it, but then I'm also scared of, you know, the dog chasing the car. What am I going to do if I get it? I'm scared of having that pull in me. And by the way, this is not some sort of... This does not run my life. This is not ruined. I'm not laying awake at night thinking like, oh, God, I hope this isn't a Destiny thing. I'm not. But when I do see a new game like this, when something attracts me to the way that something like this has... Ball Pit doesn't do that. You know? Spider-Man doesn't do that. Only something like this that looks like it could go a long way does that to me. For solo, you know, single-player games, story-driven games, puzzle games, roguelites, all these other little things that I do, they don't have that pull. They don't have that effect. No, they don't have great, that feeling.
Racing titles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not doing that to me.
Mm-hmm.
ArcRaiders did. The Finals did. What was another one? Helldivers kind of did, but luckily that has smoothed out and gone away. You know, the desire to be in there and do that again.
So the team thing, really what you were looking for?
Yeah, well, the team thing was the best part about Destiny,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And this is certainly just nothing but PvP, ArcRaiders is. So there is no single-player type stuff for me to go through. There is no story.
But that didn't work for Call of Duty before you did it. The team aspect, because there's plenty of team aspects in Call of Duty. Capture the flag, stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say it was more to do with none of my friends were doing that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In other words, the friend group, we stuck with that first Modern Warfare, the beta.
Yeah.
For Modern Warfare, it was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. This is going 10 years ago, maybe even more. Yeah, further than that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I hate, the older you get, the weirder time spacing gets.
Mm-hmm. Just say a while back, you got it covered.
I mean, a while back.
Yeah.
You know, long time ago. We were all there. There was so many of us. The 360 was kind of new for everybody, the Xbox 360. It was also online. It was putting people online because nobody was doing the PC thing. I mean, they were, but not like what it was. We had far more people on our home consoles playing games online together than we did on our PCs playing games online together.
Mm-hmm.
And the Modern Warfare beta coming in and letting people play that with, like, I think 3 maps, and we didn't care. We ran that thing into the ground with just 3 maps, much less when the game released. We were all there when that happened, too, and we played a ton of it. And I think we all got our fill, you know, because the next game in the series, which I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was Modern Warfare 2. I'm not sure. But whatever the next game was that followed in that series, nobody was there for. Some may have. But with each iteration of the game, the player base dropped off. And by that, I mean the player base of me and my friends dropped off from playing that. And everybody started going their own separate ways to play and other things to play or whatever the case. And that was fine. I didn't mind that because I really felt like we got our fill from that beta. And from the main game itself. I tried to get back into it. I made some work friends here, again, good while back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work here anymore. Who were doing the Call of Duty thing, and I got in with them. And it just didn't stick.
Mm.
It did not stick, the multiplayer part of it. It just didn't do it for me. And I don't know why. I don't know what the difference is. I can't tell you why one pulls me from the other. I don't know. So, but at that time, I probably was not, I don't know if I was or was not knee deep into Destiny as I began. I don't think I was at that time, because I remember that friend who worked here, and I still talk to him, by the way. He still does some side work for us. He and I and another guy here got into Star Wars, the MMO for Star Wars.
Force something or
Republic Commando or no, old
Knights of the Old Republic?
No, it was kind of. It wasn't Republic Commando. Anyway, it was the Star Wars MMO that BioWare had worked on.
Yeah.
I think it was BioWare. But yeah. That was another one that kind of pulled me in. Nothing like what Destiny did, but that was another one that pulled me in. And then Destiny did what it did to me, man. I say it like it did some horrible things, but what it did was pull all of my gaming focus away from games, straight into its own thing.
Yeah.
With, hey, you got bounties to do, hey, you got levels to make, hey, you've got achievements to chase, all these things that felt like chore gaming.
Yeah.
But But it didn't feel that way while I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back on it, it's like, yeah, which gives me that. That's why that gives me that anxiety. It's like, yeah. I don't want to fall back into that pit, right? I don't.
Mm-mm.
But I do want to play the game, but I don't want to. Yeah. So
I think both myself and a lot of our audience was saying that the silver lining for your band was it forced you to play the other games in your library.
Yeah.
When your account got
My account got banned. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It forced the issue.
You know,
made you play something else.
As much as I sit here and talk fondly about my time with Destiny, but also, like, here's what it did to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am also, like, that considering that was the best thing that could have happened,
mm-hmm.
was that ban. I'm not so sure that I'd still be playing it anyway. Some of the things that I read about how the player base has just died off on that game and the lack of support and lack of... I say lack of support, but lack of continuing to kind of, I don't know about innovate, but continuing to push that forward.
Yes, stuck in a rut right now. And personally, I haven't been on there in a very long time. I deleted it off of my hard drive because it was taking up too much space and I wasn't doing anything with it. So I may as well. That was a good time as any to just get rid of the thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't playing with anybody. So, yeah, I haven't played that. I haven't played Destiny in a very long time.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So. I'm with you. Nor have I. I think the counter is up to like 900 days now.
Mm.
900 some odd days. If you go to my profile on Steam, you can find it, and it'll tell you how many how many days it's been since my last ban,
mm-hmm.
which is just the one game I got banned in. But again, I look at that, and I'm like, I think I'm grateful that it would have happened.
Yeah.
I would have missed out on Balatro. I mean, I say I would have missed out, but I wouldn't have played it like I played it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have missed out on Ball Pit. I would have missed out on, God, there's a number of other games that I've played since then.
All your demos that you've got.
Well, not just the demos, but, you know, even just a bunch of different things, just trying out different things, enjoying different things,
mm-hmm.
having something other to tell you that I played other than Destiny. Mm-hmm. So I'm cool with it, even though... I got a lot of Destiny tchotchke stuff sitting around the house still.
Mm-hmm.
But not really worried about that. Anyway, we're over time. We need to take a break. When we come back, we will jump into, I don't know, we probably won't have a lot of time to jump into much, but we'll jump into what we can. We got music here. We're going, this is not modern stuff here. So, but it is theme-based. I was looking for, like, this was something I was actually going to do at the beginning of October. I started looking for this type of game to get music from. And I realized, oh, no, it's October. I got to get scary music. So I put that on the back burner. What I'm looking for here were point and clicks. You know, your old point and click games, which is almost exclusively LucasArts games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Grim Fandango and Full Throttle and... Monkey Island, all of those. Although, I only picked two from the LucasArts. Three from the LucasArts library. Wait, no, four. Sorry, I forgot that was also a LucasArts game. Man, LucasArts dominated the point and clicks, man.
Yeah. Well,
now that I'm going through my head.
Yep, that's the thing. LucasArts point and click games now.
Good God, they dominated the market. Anyway, this is Sam and Max. If you remember that, the dog and the rabbit.
Freelance Police.
Yep. Sam and Max Hit the Road was the name of this one. Was the name of the game for this one.
Mm-hmm.
God, I remember playing that too. This is early in my game. I think my dad bought the game for me. This is early in my gaming career. Sam and Max Hit the Road. The name of this track is called Carnival of the Odd. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. Welcome back into in-game chat. We've got about 10 minutes here before we're going to take our next break. So, this is music, again, from the LucasArts catalog. I think this is LucasArts. Maniac Mansion? Going back a ways?
Yeah.
This is Bernard's theme. This is actually what kicked off... that's what I went to look for back at the beginning of October. I was like, okay, let's start off with, you know, Day of the Tentacle or Maniac Mansion or something and get music from that. And then realize that, well, that's, you know, Maniac Mansion, Day of the Tentacle is kind of a, not necessarily horror genre, but it replicated a little bit of the, like, 50s sci-fi type, you know, black and white B-movie type stuff.
Yeah. Attack of the Killer, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, it's October. I got to get my scary music. So, you know, put that on the back burner there.
Mm-hmm.
Brian in the chat room asked, so did Sierra? Oh, so did Sierra. They made a bunch of those as well. Good question. Or not good question. Good statement pointing that out because I did use, there's a King's Quest in here. I think, I know I came across King's Quest. And so I think it's also in here as well. In the track listing here for what we're doing. So, and yeah, Lethal Migraine says that's now a professional gamer. Yeah, that's right. My gaming career. Yeah, you know that thing I've made a ton of money off of playing video games, which has not happened at all.
Well, some have.
Oh no, absolutely, some have. And you know, I would say the lucky ones, right? But there's not many of them that I consider necessarily to be lucky given some of the stuff they've had to go through.
Yeah.
Like when you do this, like if you're doing it professionally in like a esports league, that's completely different.
Yeah.
But when you're doing this professionally, like on a YouTube and a Twitch and stuff like that, to where you're doing, I mean, you have to do it every day. I mean,
Heck, that's YouTube in general. No matter what the,
it's
no matter
every
what the format
day,
is. Yeah. And it takes years to build up.
It does,
mm-hmm.
And it's not a guarantee that it will build up. And when it does build up, and you get that following, and you get those people, you have to continue.
You gotta stay on it
to keep those people
to stay relevant. Yeah,
I remember, and this is years ago. I remember people talking about like, nah, man, I took a break for one day. I didn't upload a video. And I lost, and he listed how many subscribers, like, unsubscribed because of one, because there was no video that day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to continually put out content and not just like, well, here's a video. Listen, I got nothing for you today. I just want to let you know nothing's coming today, but working on something tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good enough.
Yeah.
It has got to be content mm-hmm. consistently. Every single day.
But then there are some who have been able to take breaks, but their subscriber base is significantly bigger that they can afford to do that.
Well, yeah. You can look at that
when
and say...
When you get to that point, then you can start looking at breaks.
If I can
like
crunch
that.
The numbers and say, listen, when I take breaks, I lose this percentage of subscribers, but my subscriber base is this many, I can afford to drop that for whatever it's going to mm-hmm. cost.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that's going to be the case. Or they built up enough to where it's like, okay, I'm in a position where I can take a break regardless.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And when I come back, things will be fine. And that's great, mental health and all of that, but mm-hmm. you got to get there first.
Yeah.
And the reason they're taking the breaks is because of the mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put myself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to build up to, I got to work up to the point where I have to take a break for mental health. Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. But that's like, that's essentially your goal as a YouTuber. Because only then will you be at a successful point to where you can take that break.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, you'll probably likely need it hardcore. So, yeah, man, it's just, I was there, man. I was there. I was watching people do it. I was watching it happen. I was looking at it, and I thought, all right, let's see what goes into it. And luckily for me, I had the ability to talk to some people who see what goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I talked to them, the more I was like, that's not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. That's not something I want to get into. It's not, that doesn't sound like a fun life. And then I'd hear other people younger than me come up and want to do that or talk about wanting to do that. Or I'd hear, I'd talk to, you know, friends of mine who had kids that are talking about wanting to do that. And I'm not a parent, and I'm not going to parent for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, yeah, that's real tough stuff. You know, let them try, let them do their thing, let them enjoy that. But yeah, it's real tough.
You say kids, and then I think about that. What was that channel that Ryan's Toy Reviews?
I have no idea.
Yeah, there was a kid who was doing toy reviews, and he got really big, and then that channel blew up, and then something happened. I want to say something with mismanagement or something that was going on with there. I'd have to look it up again, but
it could be.
Yeah, I think that channel was something that blew up, and then something bad happened, and it got in the news somewhere, and it just went downhill from there. So when you say kids getting in there, that's one of the things that could happen. It's like celebrity, kids getting a celebrity.
Money ruins everything, and greed ruins just as much, I suppose. I mean, I think there's a correlation, obviously, between that. But, you know, because you're making money off of that, and then when you get greedy about it, it gets worse. So, yeah. Anyway, enough. Welcome to the Doom and Gloom show. enough of that for a moment. I think we got enough time to, before we take another break, just one of those really quick ones. We're hitting the top of the hour. I went long. This is what I do because I ramble. We can talk about the PlayStation Plus free games for November. We've got
something more to add to the library that I probably won't pick up.
I know. Well, there's Stray.
Okay.
That's been not necessarily on my list. It's been on my list for a while.
Oh, it'll be added to the library.
Oh, absolutely. I'll add all of these.
Yeah.
Because there's also EA Sports WRC24.
I still miss Sega Rally.
What is WRC? World Radio?
World Rally.
World Rally Championship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then there's that, which, again, that for me, that would be the same thing, where it's like, well, I'll add it. I don't know that I'll play it, but I'll add it. And then Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, which, if you take that into account, is sarcasm because it is not a totally accurate battle simulator. But it is a lot of fun.
Oh, it's stick men shooting each other?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But anyway, those are your free games for PlayStation Plus. Mm-hmm. Stray being a good one on there, or being a big one on there, is because Stray's been out now for a long time. Mm-hmm. It was a day one release in July of 2022 on PS Plus Extra. So you had to have the upper tier than the one I have. I have base, and you had to have the one above that in order to get it. And I thought about doing my conversion so that I'd be able to play that. And then it got released on Steam, and I thought I'll wait for a Steam sale, and I still never picked it up. Finally, it's coming to PS Plus, and so, you know, now I can play it.
Yeah, you'll have it.
Even then, though, it's like, I don't know if I will. It was a big thing at the time when it released in 2022.
Mm-hmm. I remember a whole bunch of people were talking about it.
I know, yeah.
Because it was unique and it stood out.
Very much unique. You play as a cat.
Yeah, and that's the problem with gaming nowadays. Not enough innovation. You were saying with Destiny, where it is now. There's no innovation. That's why it's gotten stagnant. Yep. Because nobody's coming up with new ideas. And that was something that was fresh and new. And it really got everybody's attention.
It did, yeah. And again, I've had multiple opportunities to get this game, play it on the cheap, and I just never have.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that it's added for free, doesn't necessarily mean, I'm going to dive right into it. Like you said, I'll add it to the library.
Put it on the library.
And one day, I might get to it.
With the other 300-plus games on there that I haven't started yet.
There is a bunch. God, there's a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Ball pit will last forever how long it lasts, and then I'll wait for the next game to grab my attention, and in the meantime, I'll be playing a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I started Spider-Man. I never finished. I never even got near half into that game because I just had fun swinging around the city for the most part.
Yeah, the amount of DLC that I've gotten with stuff that I have not even touched yet. Yeah, it's bad. I really need to do that for my backlog. I think Ghost of Tsushima is one. Bloodborne. I didn't finish Bloodborne's DLC. I didn't finish that yet.
God, Bloodborne's so good.
Yeah.
Ghost is another one that I need to finish, or at least play, because I have that on PC now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could go through that. That's another one that I could jump into at some point when, you know, when mm-hmm. when my current obsession subsides.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. There's a bunch. There's a bunch there waiting for me when I get there, and there's a bunch that are still yet to be released
mm-hmm.
that will be waiting for me when I get there. I don't want to have this thing go off because we're about to hit the top of the hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's other stuff in the news that we're going to go over and try to anyway. So we'll be talking. There's also a lot of job losses. I know that's what we kind of ended on last week, talking about Ubisoft's whatever that stupid boardroom term was for voluntarily transitioning your position.
Fired.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple other companies that are doing the same. Well, they're not doing the same thing. Nobody's doing what Ubisoft was doing, but they are laying people off. And so we got a couple of games that are doing that as well, or a couple of dev studios that are doing that. Are you looking for what it was called?
Yeah. Voluntary Career Transition Program.
And with that, we're going to have a voluntarily shift in focus and go to our ads.
Yeah.
This is music not from a LucasArts game. Hallelujah. This is from a game series that I actually never played. Part of me is thinking that James may have recommended this. It's the Gabriel Knight series. This is going way. This is going back a good ways.
Okay.
Anyway, this is from Gabriel Knight 2. It is the subtitle of Gabriel Knight 2 was Beast Within, and this is the main theme for that game. So we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back into in-game chat, going back to LucasArts games again. One of the big ones, actually, for them, or one of the early ones, Loom.
Hmm.
L-O-O-M, Loom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the main theme for that game. All right, welcome into the second hour of the show. Looking at the chat room here. AC Wraith says, I love Gabriel Knight. I still need to finish the third game, though. Over the years, I somehow managed to start playing right when my hard drive was giving out twice. AC Wraith also says, Loom was good, but short. So. All right. I don't necessarily know that we have, like, a story that sort of dominated anything. There's a lot of little bitty stories that we got, of course. We'll just start at the top of my list here. Something that his name's Matt Booty, and I know I'm going to laugh at that just because, well, it's my nature. It was an interview. He's president of Xbox Game Content. He claimed the company's competition no longer lies with other game studios and console developers, but with everything else. In an interview with the New York Times, they were primarily discussing the announcement of Halo showing up on PlayStation 5 in 2026. He said, "The decision came as a result of seeking to meet people where they are, moving away from console exclusivity in a bid to reach more players." Which, that makes sense. The more you exclusivize, a word like that exists, the more you do that, or every time you do that, you are telling everybody else who is not a part of that exclusivity that we don't want your money. You know? You're it's not necessarily that you're shunning them, because I don't think they look at it that way.
No, they don't look at it that way, but really, I mean, it's I think I've said it before, game, when's the last time you had a game move a console that you recall?
Oh, man. Mario moved consoles. Halo moved consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Halo did, yeah.
Yeah, Halo absolutely moved consoles.
See, I haven't felt that in the gaming market for a while. A game that single-handedly just moves consoles, because right. You know how I feel about consoles. I'm not going to get a console for one game.
I know.
You need to build a library first before I'm going to pick up that console.
Halo was able to do that, though.
Yeah, Halo was able to do that, yeah.
Mario usually was able to do that, but for the longest time, and now it's not even a thing. Used to be, when a new Nintendo console released, there was a Mario game that either came with it or was released at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It just does not happen like that much anymore. The Switch released with a Zelda launch. The mm-hmm. Switch 2 released with, you could call that a Mario game if you call it Mario Kart.
It's Mario Kart.
But in the same sense, it was a kart game. It wasn't like a standalone Mario game, but still. Yeah. The GameCube released without a Mario title. It had a Luigi title.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not have a Mario push. The Wii didn't have a Mario title when it launched. It had a Zelda title.
Hmm.
Well, the Wii actually had the sports title, which was the big thing.
No,
The Wii selling point wasn't a single game. The Wii selling point was the motion control.
Mm-hmm.
That moved consoles. The peripheral, the motion control, that sort of thing. That's what moved the Wii consoles. But you don't have a lot. Xbox had one with that, but I can't tell you that Sony had one. Their answer, I suppose, would have been Crash Bandicoot, but that didn't move consoles. That didn't move them like Halo did. Sonic didn't move Sega's like Mario did, if you want to compare the two.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Dreamcast launched with Sonic Adventure.
Sonic Adventure. Well, there were numerous titles at launch.
Well, no. Yeah. All systems have launch titles, yes.
Yeah.
But are they console movers is what I'm saying. And usually you go with your company mascot, which would have been Sonic at the time.
Sonic Adventure, yeah.
The Xbox 360 launched with no Halo. I'm not sure what the game would have been that I think there was a fighter that launched with Xbox 360, some kind of fighter game. I don't remember. Soul Calibur, maybe? I don't know what the other one was. The game I bought with my Xbox 360 was Cameo. Mm-hmm. And that, I can tell you, was not a console mover, although that was my first experience with HD gaming.
What did I get with my Dreamcast? I'm trying to remember. I got a bunch of titles. I think it was I think NFL 2K was one. Sonic Adventure, I think maybe. Ready to Rumble?
Could have been.
Was that later? I don't know.
It could have been.
Yeah, I bought it. Yeah, there was numerous titles I picked up.
Power Stone was one I was really interested in.
When it came out, yeah.
Crazy Taxi might have moved some. I don't know if Crazy Taxi was a launch title for the Dreamcast, though. I don't think it was.
I think Choo Choo Rocket was one, but I didn't pick that up.
But, well, that kind of goes to our point, though. Yeah. The last time a character or a specific game has moved consoles,
I could think of Halo.
It's got to be Halo for Xbox.
Halo comes up, yeah.
It has to be Halo for Xbox. I can't think of anything else. The PlayStation 4 didn't launch with... at a certain point, the thing to move the consoles were the consoles themselves.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, we have all this power, and it looks really good, and we're going to have all these games that are going to be coming out with it, so you need to get this machine.
Yeah. I mean, I like playing Bayonetta. But the reason I'm not playing 2 and 3 is because it's on a console that I'm not picking up.
Yeah.
You don't have enough on there for me, so, yeah.
No, I get it. So the last time you've had a console mover, I guess, would probably be that. Unless, and, you know, let me check chat, because somebody could have thrown something in there. I don't see anything. Hmm. No, I get you, Lethal. I know what you're saying there. We're just trying to think of, you know, the games that have been released that have been sort of the
game that make you want to buy the console.
The killer app, as they used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeking to meet people where they are. So when you stop with the exclusivity part of things, then you get more money out of it. This is something that should be very easy to understand, but apparently it's not to some people. I don't know why. Tomb Raider, when they did their exclusivity with Xbox, and they said, poor sales. Well, yeah, you limited it to one console.
Yeah.
Titanfall was another one.
Mm-hmm.
The first Titanfall got a PC release and an Xbox release,
mm-hmm.
but did not get anything else. Meet them where they are. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, folks were clamoring for that game, too, weren't they?
For Titanfall?
Titanfall? Or was it 2?
I don't know. I mean, we were clamoring for Titanfall 2 because Titanfall was really, really fun. And Titanfall 2 didn't hit with the impact that the first game hit, even though it got a multi-platform release.
Yeah.
However, don't let that fool you in what I'm saying when I say that, because that game is very, very good story-wise. It's a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
They took a single-player aspect of a game that really didn't need one and wasn't even the draw of the first one, the single-player aspect, and they threw in a single-player story for Titanfall 2 that it worked really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Really well. I only got through not even half of it, and I was enjoying the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, something else, probably Destiny, distracted me at that time. It is my scapegoat for everything. I was probably playing Destiny at the time. It's very likely I was.
Mm.
That's likely the case. Anyway, back to this article here. It's vastly different position to both Nintendo and Sony's PlayStation brand, both of which continue to guard their first-party exclusives, with Sony only recently experimenting with porting its console games to PC, but that even comes months, if not even later, than their console debut. Commenting on over 9,000 employees laid off from the company during the summer, which Microsoft told Eurogamer was necessary to position the company and teams for success in dynamic marketplace, beep boop, Mr. Board speak. At the time, Matt said, layoffs are difficult, and they're part of managing our business. While the total number of laid off employees in gaming positions remains unknown, the likes of Rare's Everwild, that was canceled. The initiative's Perfect Dark reboot, also canceled. And a new ZeniMax MMORPG, all canceled. Roughly 200 staff from Candy Crush developer King were laid off and have reportedly been replaced by the AI tools that they helped build. The team at Turn 10 Studios behind Forza is also reportedly no more. And the knock-on effect has also resulted in funding being cut for Romero Games' next project, though contrary to reports, that studio is not closed. Yesterday, Microsoft confirmed that the Halo series is coming to PlayStation 5 in a new demo debuted, blah, 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 described. So, yeah. But the line that he said was that our biggest competition isn't another console. It is everything from TikTok to movies, said the Xbox Games president person. TikTok being one of their things, movies being... Yeah, all media is your competition.
Entertainment.
Yes. Anything that's going to draw your attention away from your product is your competition.
Mm.
I remember, and it took a while, I think, for this to kind of, I want to say, sink in. But I remember years and years and years ago, we heard that it was Nintendo or somebody said, you know what our competition is? Cell phones. And at that point, I was not necessarily buying into that or not buying into it. I just couldn't relate in the sense that, oh, I don't play games on my cell phone.
Yeah.
But once you look at the numbers, which we will be once January rolls around, we'll be looking at the revenue for 2025, and your number one revenue generator will be a mobile game or just will be the mobile games industry. It will be your number one. And when that started to show up more and more, that's when I realized, yeah, of course, they're right.
Yeah.
The mobile games industry is massive, is dominating. And in a sense, that is who they're chasing. That is who their competition is the little digital thing in your hand, which, again, you know, you go back to that and it's like, well, that's where you got the Steam Deck. That's where you're getting this, the Xbox Legion thing, whatever the handheld Xbox thing that's being done. Those, I don't know if those, I don't know if those are considered mobile gaming though. It's handheld, yeah. But when I say mobile gaming, I'm thinking it's a game you play on your tablet or your phone.
Yeah, the gaming on the go. Well, that would be, to me, that sounds like a handheld, like the Steam Deck or something like that.
Right, right. But when they say mobile gaming, they're not including Switch titles.
Yeah, they're not talking about that.
Even though the Switch is a portable console, they're not talking about that. They're talking about your games that are on your phone. And it took me a while.
Maybe needs another title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paid for games. Or they're all paid for, but you know what I mean.
Pay to win.
Whatever. It's all, you know.
Yeah.
It's all subscription-based, it seems. But then again, that's just that's not an exclusive to your mobile gaming. That's almost the DNA of games nowadays. Like, we can release a single player, but we won't make any money off it unless we figure out a way to make them continue to pay afterwards. We got to figure out, we got to find out what they want to pay for so that we can make more money off of this title. Because we will not recoup our losses releasing it as is. We gotta add something in there for them to continue to pay, so that we can get. That's why we have a battle pass and a season pass.
That the season passes get bigger and bigger every year.
Content updates that you gotta pay for. DLC. It's just it has to continue in order for us to make that money, and that's how they come about it. Which is why you just don't see a lot of single player games getting released anymore. It's got to be a game that's like, oh, you can pay for the digital deluxe and you get the season pass, or you get all the DLC that's going to be released later, or something like that.
What was that? What was that meme of a picture of an explanation of how video games are sold now? The way you described it, it's like used to be the day your video game was a complete hamburger.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now, and nowadays, you got to pay for the bun, and then the DLC is the beef, and then the, all the
everything
stuff,
in the between is the extra.
All the other stuff you got to buy. Yeah.
Yep. To get your full plate.
Yep. That's why you like you see a title that you didn't move you to buy day one, you just wait.
Yeah.
For the Game of the Year edition, where all the DLC and everything that was released for it is in one package. And there you go.
I'm currently holding out for, obviously, the Black Friday sales and that sort of thing before I really buy anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen stuff that's been on sale and that sort of thing, but I'm just like, hold off. There's no reason to buy it now. There's no reason to, unless it's already at a great discount. I bought Buckshot, you know, we had the music on one, Buckshot Roulette, I think.
Yeah.
It was like $1.85.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah, you got me on that one.
Yeah,
$1.85. I'll buy your game. That's fine. That's worth throwing $2 at, which is exactly what I did. So anyway, yeah, cell phones are a big deal, and you'll find that out when we come to the end of the year or the beginning of next year, and you find out how much revenue is made for that. It is astounding, and I say it's astounding to me. Maybe people who are just mobile game heads. For them, it's like, well, yeah, of course it is, because this is how much I spent on gaming on my phone recently.
Yeah,
but it's hard. It's hard for me to comprehend, man.
Well, it's just something we don't. Well, I don't do.
Yeah. I mean, I do it with.
You got Marvel Snap, but you play anything else on the mobile phone besides that?
There's a word game, you know?
Oh, yeah, Wordle. Yeah.
Kind of a Wordle type game, yeah. It's an app.
Wait, I do that on the PC. Wait.
Well, I play Snap on my PC, too. I can play Snap on PC.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I guess for me, the smartphone is not my ideal format for gaming.
It's not. No.
So that's just me.
Outside of what I do right there with Snap being a card game and with the word game type stuff, no. I have seen games that you can download that are like fighters, that are like story modes, that are all these different things. And I'm like, how do you get enjoyment out of that? How on your tiny little screen where your controls are covering up most of it with what you have to do? I don't know.
Oh, 92.5 billion in 2024 for global mobile gaming revenue.
Billion. 92 billion. That's your competition.
Yeah.
Your console folks, that's your competition right there.
We're going to hit triple digits in 2025.
I would easily say that.
100, 200.
I would probably go up to about 150 maybe.
150 billion.
Yeah.
For 2025.
I'll put it there. Yeah. Not that we're going to remember that when we get around to it, but yeah.
No, I'll put it in the show notes.
And then you'll know to go back to it and be like, it was back in November that he said that, and here we are at 500 billion. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? And now that was talking about job losses, and apparently Amazon is reportedly gutting its video game division as part of 14,000 company-wide job cuts. Following Amazon's decision to cut 14,000 jobs, a new report has claimed the company is gutting its video game division as part of the move. This was a report from Bloomberg referencing a memo sent to Amazon employees says the company plans to reduce the amount of work it does on big-budget titles, particularly MMOs. The vice president of audio, Twitch, and game from Amazon, a guy by the name of Stephen Boom, wrote that, while we're proud of our success in first-party AAA game development and publishing, we have made the difficult decision to halt a significant amount of our first-party AAA game development work, specifically around MMOs with Amazon Game Studios, including making significant role reductions in our studios in Irvine and San Diego, as well as our central publishing team. They haven't revealed the exact number of jobs being cut across the games division. It suggested, though, that two projects are impacted, New World and the Lord of the Rings MMO, all of these announced back in 2023. On LinkedIn, former senior gameplay engineer Ashley Amerine wrote, "This morning I was part of the layoffs at Amazon Games, alongside my incredibly talented peers on New World and our fledgling Lord of the Rings game," where they say y'all would have loved it. Amazon entered the video games market in disastrous fashion, canceling its free-to-play shooter Crucible just 5 months after its release in 2020 and 4 months after it was unreleased back into beta. Its other failures include a first stab at a Lord of the Rings MMO, canceled in 2021, and now a second stab at it, also canceled, following a dispute with the Chinese megacorp Tencent. New World 2 has struggled to sustain interest after a strong start in 2021. Their other major project is its upcoming Crystal Dynamics-developed upcoming Tomb Raider game, which was said to be going well in August of last year, but we do not know the status of that game currently. Yep, it's tough times. There was yet another studio that had layoffs as well, and we'll discuss that. Well, I can tell you that actually right now. Less than 2 weeks before the launch of its next game, Hyperlight Studio Heart Machine reportedly lays off even more employees. Hyperlight Studio Heart Machine may have suffered another round of layoffs as multiple employees are reporting on social media that they've all been let go. These job losses come just 3 weeks after a previous round of layoffs that saw more than a dozen people put out of work. Three employees have posted about their layoffs on Blue Sky so far, one on October 28th, two on October 29th. Heart Machine community and PR manager also posted the video on 29th saying Heart Machine has just laid off a bunch more people effective immediately. By the time Possessor comes out in November 11th, I don't know if anyone who worked on the game will even be at the company anymore. Yeah.
Hmm.
Right before the holidays. Also right before a big game release, although, and I realize that's typically the case, just before a game releases, it's like, okay, we're done with you.
Yeah.
You know? We got what we needed out of you. But a lot of times, those are just contracted employees anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of times, it's like, hey, we need you to work on a project, and when that project gets released, okay, thank you for your time. We're you know.
Contract's over.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's it. But it's still bad. So anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll hopefully get into something that's not as depressing as people losing their jobs. We have Animal Crossing news to talk about. And Crash Bandicoot, which I mentioned. Maybe talk about Valve. I'm not sure. The guy from DayZ, Dean Hall. He had some words about Valve, and I'm kind of curious about what those words are. I did not read the article, but I am curious about it. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of in-game chat. This is a music track from a point-and-click game. I don't know if it's LucasArts, but it's a very strange-sounding song, music bit here. It comes from a game called The Neverhood. And this track is called Ollie Oxen Free. So we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat, and there you go, another LucasArts title for you in the point-and-click genre in Indiana Jones' Fate of Atlantis. Search for Statue was the name of that track.
Hmm.
So, welcome back. We got another one to go, which I don't think is a LucasArts game for you, to end out the show here. But, yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show, going back into our News of the Week. What did Dean Hall have to say about Valve? Last week, Valve issued an update to Counter-Strike 2 that, by some estimates, caused the collective secondhand market value of rare CS2 cosmetics to plummet by billions of dollars. This is an aspect of, by the way, this is not from the article, this is just me. This is an aspect of Steam, Valve, that I've never dabbled in. Mm. And that is the auction store or whatever that thing is where you can sell your... the crates and all the stuff that TF2 and CS2 and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
The Steam marketplace I've never really dabbled in with the trading cards, with the all the stuff that's there. There apparently there's some money to be made, but you got to be playing the right game, and I was not playing the right game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be playing Counter-Strike or Team Fortress, and I just was not into those.
Yeah, there's always been money in the digital goods part,
right?
Parts of the game. Yeah.
While Valve's official policy forbids the third-party sale of its games' cosmetics, its loot box monetization fuels a massive ecosystem of gambling and speculation. And in an interview with Eurogamer, DayZ and Icarus creator Dean Hall says Valve isn't getting enough flack for creating its own predatory economy. Basically, if you have a certain type of loot box, it's a crate, whatever, you know, it's random. We don't know what's inside. But you can sell that. And I think they're classified. In other words, some of the crates are classified where it's like, hey, this is a rare crate. You're going to get something of value in here. We don't know what. Mm-hmm. It could be massive. It could be small, whatever. How much you want for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How much you want to sell it for. How much you want to buy it for, basically, is how it's looking in that regard. And so that's what they mean by that, because you don't know what's in there. Dean says, it's something I think Valve does not get anywhere near enough criticism about, Hall said. I'm honestly disgusted with gambling mechanics in video games at all. They have absolutely no place. He is more about talking about spending money to get loot boxes or to have something open up and you don't know what you're going to get, but you're paying to pull that lever and see if you, you know, hit a jackpot.
Yeah, it's the same thing with, what was it, the loot boxes in that Star Wars game or FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
Someone crunched the numbers and got the odds of you getting the treasured item or the car, like the a certain player in FIFA. It was like the odds of you going through the things and getting what you wanted was like a 0.002% chance of you actually getting it,
yeah,
or something like that. Yeah, and manufactured tedium of getting what you want, but the more tedious you make it, the more money some folks are willing to spend to get that.
Yeah.
Like we talked about earlier, companies want to make sure the gaming community and the customers keep paying that money to keep getting what they want out of the game.
I would also say that this is probably in part where a lot of that majority of the mobile gaming money comes from. The spending something to possibly get something really good type of thing. Maybe. I don't know. Efforts to regulate loot boxes as a form of gambling, like a recent Brazilian law banning the sale of loot boxes to minors, have driven other major game publishers to pursue different monetization tactics in recent years. Valve, however, has managed to neatly skirt regulatory efforts by charging players not for directly purchasing loot crates, which can be earned during gameplay, but for the keys required to open them.
Mm.
That's right. That's what it was. It wasn't the crates. It was the keys. Because the keys, the more special your key, the more valuable it was. Because the more rare a piece of loot or whatever that it would drop for you from opening it with the thing, whatever.
Same thing.
I know.
Same thing.
In other words, Valve's monetization logic is that it's not gambling because it's only selling you the lever for the slot machine. For Dean, that's an absurd distinction. My challenge to game developers is that if they think these things are not a problem, they make the data available to universities who are crying out to study this stuff, he said. Rejecting monetization strategies that look, function, and feel a lot like gambling doesn't mean players will always appreciate their alternatives, however. Hall said that even he is frustrated by the paradox model of paid expansion and DLC packs his studio, Rocketworks, chose for its survival game Icarus after moving away from the free-to-play scheme. He said, I agree with a lot of the people who get mad about the DLC approach. I don't really like the Icarus approach. We needed it to survive, he said. I actually think a lot of gamers don't realize that 99% of devs out there are sitting there going, I don't like this. I would point you in the direction of every single developer that worked on Suicide Squad. They did it because they had to, but I don't think they liked any of it.
Yeah.
For its next game, the shamelessly Kerbal-inspired Kitten Space Agency, Rocketworks, is taking an unconventional path for generating revenue. The game will be free, but players will be able to opt in to payments to support its development. We've got to try something different, and if there's ever a game that deserves trying that, it is Kitten Space. It's a Kerbal Space Program style game, he said.
Yeah.
That's one game I think maybe we can try and do something different with. We say games can inspire and inspiration should be free, which is kind of a tagline with the Kitten Space Agency. Valve, meanwhile, hasn't always gone without criticism for its monetization practices. Greek economist and politician, I will not try and pronounce your name, Yannis, that's his first, I got that, who had formerly worked as Valve's own economist in residence, said in 2024 that it didn't just spawn third-party gray markets of skin gambling and cryptocurrency laundering. Its efforts to rein in those activities, he said, helped usher in what he calls our current age of techno-feudalism, in which major corporations extract rents from algorithmic fiefdoms where they alone dictate the terms of exchange. One way or another, TF2 hats have a lot to answer for. Yeah, that was it. Team Fortress 2 stuff, man. I remember that.
Hats.
Team Fortress might have been the game that pulled everybody away from Modern Warfare, by the way. You remember when I was talking about how we were all doing Modern Warfare?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, once that was done, they moved over to the PC and were playing Team Fortress.
Mm-hmm.
Or Team Fortress 2
Team
at
Fortress
the time
2, yeah.
when that released. I got in on that. It didn't pull.
Yeah.
You know? It was fun because I was playing with my friends. You know? We were still having fun talking to them, and I was just horrible at the game, but I was still having fun playing with them. But it just did not stick for me.
Yeah.
It just didn't. It wasn't there. So, yeah, that was the Valve stuff. Crash Bandicoot is getting its own animated series on Netflix. I'm still watching that Splinter Cell Netflix series, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I know we talked about it last week. I realized I was only two episodes in. I think I'm three now. But it is good. I have enjoyed it. I'm sort of sipping it like a really good mug of coffee or something, where it's just taking my time with it. Because I'm enjoying it, and I could burn through it real easily. The episodes are short.
20 minutes?
Under 30.
Well, basically, a sitcom episode, you got 30 minutes, but that's including commercials. But how much commercial time was taken out of it?
It's it's under 30 minutes, and even the opening is like 2.5 to 3 minutes long. In other words, the title, the opening credits.
So it's an anime intro.
I guess. Yeah, I don't watch enough anime to tell you that.
Anime intros are long.
Yeah.
Long intros. So, yeah. So that's something that stands out about them. So so you got the intro to deal with. No commercials. So under 30 minutes. So, yeah. So what, 20, 25 minutes?
It seems to go by fast.
Yeah. Okay.
It seems to really go by fast. So, anyway, they're going to be working on a Crash Bandicoot animated series, which is great. Why they haven't done so before, I don't know. I don't think Crash speaks, though, right?
All I heard was quips and sounds.
Like, he doesn't have... He doesn't talk in the games, I didn't think. Other than, like, when you hit him and he makes a oof, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, but I don't think he actually has speaking dialogue.
Yeah.
That I know of.
Well, now they did a lot of game characters in their first games anyway.
Yeah. Animal Crossing. Why not talk about Animal Crossing? Because God knows I haven't played the thing in forever. Nintendo has brought Animal Crossing New Horizons back into the big time with a Switch 2 edition and a free update to the base game. Both of these will launch January 15th, 2026. With pre-orders coming soon. The Switch 2 edition features new features like... features new features? Why don't you just say the Switch 2 edition has new features like Sorry, you're writing that. Why would you say features new features? Anyway, Switch 2 edition will have higher resolution visuals with the frame rate capped at 30 frames per second. It'll come with mouse controls, an in-game megaphone that uses the system's built-in microphone, online play for up to 12 players, and camera play, whatever that might be. The free update for the base game, meanwhile, features a new resort hotel, new themed items and characters, extra exclusives like Slumber Island for Nintendo Switch Online members, and more. The content of this update can be played in both versions of the game from January the 15th. Nintendo said that Switch 2 players can buy digital or physical versions of the Nintendo Switch 2 edition of Animal Crossing New Horizons when it launches, for $65. And if they already have the game for Nintendo Switch, a paid upgrade pack will be available for $5. Pre-orders for the paid upgrade pack are available starting today on the My Nintendo Store and Nintendo eShop. Let's see. Oh, they're going over the list here. Improved resolution, 4K, and TV mode. That's going to look cool. You can locate residents by calling their names using the in-game megaphone item and the built-in Nintendo Switch 2 microphone. Join 12-player sessions for online sessions if everyone is playing the Nintendo Switch 2 edition. And you can play with friends via camera play. Connect a compatible USB camera and see their reactions in-game while exploring your island together. They'll also receive new features to experience, including a resort hotel's grand opening, A resort hotel is opening on the pier. To bring in guests from off the island, you'll help out by decorating guest rooms and more. Find new furniture and clothing at the souvenir shop and dress up mannequins with outfits that guests can wear. Let's see. Want a fresh start? You can also have a reset service to help tidy up your island. Additionally, you can now upgrade your home storage to hold up to 9,000 items. And you can also store trees, shrubs, and flowers there, too. Then the Slumber Island. There's also collaborations. Oh, that's right. We're getting Lego items in the game. Like a couch made out of Legos and a bed made out of Legos and, you know, just different little Lego-themed additions into the game. So, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. They haven't completely forgot about Animal Crossing.
You got to put that Lego Game Boy in there.
Ha! I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I mean, it's a Nintendo property, and they had to go in with Lego to have it done.
Yeah.
So it would surprise me if it is not there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that was, let's see that. And then we did the MMO thing. It looks like we've covered everything except for the next-gen Xbox. I did get, I may have mentioned this last week, that both the next PlayStation and the next Xbox are currently being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
So this report comes from, I say it comes from GameSpot, but actually it's out of something from Windows Central. Microsoft revolutionized online multiplayer in the console space with Xbox Live in 2002, and ever since then, playing games online has come at a cost for Xbox owners. That might not be the case going forward with the next-gen Xbox system. Windows Central states that the current plan for the next Xbox, specifically to have no paywall for multiplayer. This would be a huge change, by the way, as at least Xbox Game Pass Essential subscription is needed currently for online multiplayer for Xbox at this time. However, Microsoft doesn't charge for access to free-to-play multiplayer games like Fortnite and Call of Duty Warzone, two of the most popular games in the world. Another reason for the possible change comes from the fact that Windows Central reports that the next-gen Xbox will offer a console experience combined with a full Windows PC interface, if desired. As such, like the Xbox ROG Ally handhelds, the next-gen Xbox would then allow access to various PC storefronts such as Steam and Battle.net. If Microsoft were to keep charging for online multiplayer, then the theory goes those owners might just forego the Xbox Store and utilize Steam instead of the device, or instead on the same device. Last week, Xbox President Sarah Bond said that the next Xbox would be a very premium, very high-end curated experience. She also reconfirmed that Xbox was working on new hardware after rumors surfaced that Microsoft might exit the console space. Microsoft is also apparently testing out a free Xbox Cloud gaming plan with ads. That would have players watch a couple of minutes of video ads, for example, before having access to a curated selection of games, or possibly ones that they already own. Last but not least, Halo games will be on PlayStation going forward, starting with the new Halo remake. So, again, more and more, the landscapes are changing, right?
Yep.
So, I have something else. I thought I marked something else here that I didn't add to our list, but I marked it today. Oh, yeah. I got two other articles here that were not in our show notes because I just saw them before the show today. One has to do with Rockstar. Apparently they're being accused of the most ruthless act of union busting in the history of the UK games industry after firing dozens of employees who were allegedly attempting to form a union.
Is it the UK version?
It's the UK, yeah. A Bloomberg report says that Grand Theft Auto 6 studio Rockstar Games has fired dozens of employees over what Independent Workers of Great Britain Union alleges is a brazen act of union busting. Take-Two Interactive denies that allegation and says the employees were fired for misconduct. The report says that between 30 and 40 Rockstar employees working on multiple offices or in multiple offices in the UK and Canada were fired on October 30th, all of them part of a private trade union chat group on Discord. A IWGB rep told the site that some of the fired employees were members of the union while others were attempting to organize. We will fight for every member to be reinstated. Rockstar's flagrant contempt for the law and the lives of the workers who bring in their billions is an insult to their fans and the global industry. In a statement provided, PC Gamer, Take-Two denied the allegations of union busting and said it supported Rockstar's decision to fire the employees. We'll see how that plays out over time.
Yeah.
And then, interestingly enough, there was a delisting on Steam and Xbox. Monolith's Criminal Origins. Condemned Criminal Origins?
Yeah.
Origins? Yeah. There's a nice little spooky game, but actually very fun. Condemned Criminal Origins has been removed from Steam and the Xbox Store, and unfortunately it's not available on GOG either. It used to be there on Steam, but now it's gone.
Hmm.
You can still pick up a working code on Fanatical, apparently. It's about $14 if you want it. The big obvious question is why. There's no answer currently forthcoming, but quite a few people on social media are hoping that it means we're getting a remaster. That's Sega, isn't it?
I played it on Sega, yeah.
Condemned Criminal Origins? That was a Sega title, right? Or a Sega-developed game?
Yeah, I believe so.
Or was it published by Sega? No, it's Monolith, who were the developers, but I think it was published by Sega.
Hmm.
I think.
Let's look it up.
Condemned is a very Halloween-coded game, and hey, it's probably just coincidence, but since we're speculating, I'm going into deep conspiracy and point out that it also happened 1 week after Night Dive's interview with Jace Hall. Night Dive is, of course, famed for its remarks, for its remakes and remasters of classic games. And you may not know who Jace Hall is because you're not old like me, so it's fortunate I'm here to tell you. He's the co-founder of Monolith. Go ahead.
Condemned 2, Bloodshot.
That was Sega? It
was by Sega.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah,
which is probably the one I played.
Yeah, Condemned Criminal Origins was really good. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed that. Mostly because James played it and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in the house and we had a bunch of people sitting around while he played it, watching him play it.
Yeah.
And we were just as entertained as I guess he was while he was playing the game. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. We actually streamed the ending of that game way before you could ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
We set up, because I was doing webcams, obviously, so we could do the show.
Yeah.
And we set up a webcam in the living room, turned all the lights off so that you would have just that screen, because I had a massive screen TV for the time. It was 75, 73 inches.
Yeah.
And so I had the camera focused on that, and you could hear us talking while we were playing it. So we were, you know, it was early on before you could stream games. That's how we did it. Man, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, I think that's going to do it for us. We're not yet here the near ready to leave, but I'm out of stories. I feel like I'm out of voice, too.
Really?
Tired of talking. I am legit tired of talking right now.
Oh, boy. Oh,
God. I really want to stream Ball Pit, but I haven't gotten around to doing that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really do want to stream Ball Pit, though.
I was looking up the images of Condemned 2 Bloodshot, and yes, this is the one I played, yeah. Because I remember that shirt that Ethan had on. I always thought it was available for purchase somewhere. It should be if it's not. It was a bullseye on the front, and with bullets where bullets had hit it.
Yeah.
And on the back of the shirt, it said, "We aim to please."
Oh, okay.
And I thought that would have been a nice shirt to... actually have, yeah. There was something else about the Condemned that got me was you had to have a high def TV to play that thing, because if you didn't, you couldn't read the text.
The subtitles.
Like, yeah, the subtitles or whatever. I think the same thing happened with
Dead Rising had that problem
as well. Yeah.
And they had to actually legit put an update out to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it did have that problem.
And I'm trying to remember the investigative aspect of Condemned.
That was the fun part.
That was the fun part.
Yeah.
It was investigating crime scenes. And seeing what you could deduce from them, right?
Yeah, that was the best part, was the crime scene part of it.
And I don't think I've seen anything like that since, other than all I can think of is L.A. Noir. So that's just powers of observation and looking at your notes and everything like that.
Yeah. Batman, a couple of the Batman games had some, like, investigative stuff.
So detective mode, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't... It wasn't like what Condemned was.
Nothing like in-depth.
Yeah,
nothing
not
in-depth
really.
Like that.
It was very, very hold your hand through it in the Batman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could recreate the timeline of like what just happened and that sort of thing.
Holographs and images
and
things like that.
Yeah, all that crap. But yeah, it wasn't as good as what Condemned. Condemned was more real world based.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to use the luminol and the black light and
you got to find the blood trail.
Yeah.
Because you're in darkened rooms and things like that, you can't see anything in there, and you got to get the spectrometer or something and look around and see what you can find in there.
Yeah.
So, I think some people didn't like the supernatural aspect of Condemned 2, but I still had a good time playing the game, and I think I still have it somewhere in my CD wallet somewhere. I could probably still play it now if I could find it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us, folks. We are done for the week, and we will be back to do it all over again next week as well, and we hope you will be, too. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't forget to find us up on YouTube and iTunes and everything else, everywhere else that you can find us as well. Going to leave you here with another point-and-click adventure. I don't think it comes from LucasArts, but it's a game called Discworld, and the name of the track is called City Gate. So you guys have a great week, and we will see you next Saturday.